Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents...
Is your website purdy?
Mind your business!
Does it work right?
Mind your business!
Can people find it?
Say it! Say it!
Mind your business!
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening through whatever vehicle you're listening to us through. Right off of our website at welcometominds.com, on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Thank you, as always, for following us on Pinterest and on Facebook. And if you have any burning question regarding website design, function, development, search engine optimization, social media, blogging, whatever, please send your questions to us through our website, social media, or email. We'll be happy to address them here on the podcast. This week, we're talking about substance to go with the style of your website. We're basically taking all those topics I just ran down there that you can ask us about, and we're combining them all together. Now, we've discussed this concept with regard to your website content itself, the written part of your website, but not as much with the regard to the overall contents of your site, meaning the design, function, and of course the words, and how all of these are important and work together in the overall user experience. See, the overall experience is important when it comes to indexing and presence in the SERPs. It really impacts it. There's a nice article I saw this week by Claiborne Griffin of Search Engine Land that discusses the role of technical SEO, because SEO has definitely gotten more technical as web development continues to play a larger role in it. But you got to go beyond the technical when it comes to the big picture and when it comes to justifying your style with substance in the user experience. See, once you get the technical stuff down, you get your site, you know, technically optimized, you know, congratulations, you're now in the court of public opinion and in the court of search engine opinion. Do you have substance? Is your site visually appealing? Can people find what they want easily? Do you present yourself like a true authority with personality? There must be substance to go with your style. You simply must go beyond the technical itself and look at the intent of the technical and how that comes across to your visitors. So what we're going to do this week is I'm going to give you five basic points to help justify your style with the substance of user experience. First and foremost, first impression, and this has nothing to do with search engine bots and everything to do with user experience. You've heard me say it here before on the podcast. The first impression is so crucial in drawing people into your site. Sounds obvious, but so often things are overlooked. Color, look, feel. It's easy to think of this when you look at your competitor's site with that discerning eye that we all have. Yet it can be equally difficult to look at your own first impression on your own site with that same discerning eye. We tend to be more forgiving of ourselves, of the mistakes we criticize others for. People are just as critical of the look of your website when they land on it as you are of other websites when you land on them. I mean, have you ever landed on a website and the balance and the symmetry were off? More than likely, you weren't thinking, this website's balance and symmetry is off. Now, more than likely, you were thinking something more along the lines of, boy, this website doesn't look very professional. Or, wow, those colors are ugly. You know how brutal kids can be on the school playground. Well, the interwebs is a big playground and criticism is everywhere. And really, we're all guilty of it. So what does the color scheme on your site communicate to people? Do those colors truly represent the mood that you want to create? What are the positives? What are the negatives? Take the color white, for example. The positives are that white communicates innocence, freshness, clean feeling. I always think of Ivory soap with this because they have right there on the label, 99% pure. And the soap itself is white so as to accentuate that point. Make no mistake. They could have colored it. Let's have it white. Innocence, freshness, clean, pure. Lots of times, not all the time, but often enough, we comment on how clean a design is. When we do that, there's a fair amount of white in that design. Those are the positives. But what about the negatives? White can also communicate emptiness, blankness, a lost feeling. Emptiness is the biggest one here with regard to your web design because too much white can almost make you look like you don't have much to offer or much to say. It's the psychology of color. It's how it makes you feel. And different colors have both positives and negatives. The bottom line, be discerning with that first impression on your website. And as I've said before, ask the opinion of some friends you trust to give you an honest answer and use that input. Now, secondly, we go from the first impression to the navigation. Does your website hierarchy make sense? This part is twofold, actually, because you think about the end user and the search engines. Think about both of them. End user first. Is there a natural progression to your navigation menu? Do you overwhelm visitors on your main page? How many times have you visited a website and there are so many selections on the home page that you find it hard to make up your mind where you should go? It's best to start with a handful of options to make it as easy as possible for visitors to start down that path to finding what they want. That first decision is crucial. And I don't care what you sell, product or service-wise, you can narrow down your navigation menu to a few main categories, to make it easy for your visitor to make that first decision. Because once they make that first decision and start down that path to finding what they want, then you're leading them down that path. And that's where your navigation, if it makes sense, it's easy to lead them to what they want, to what they need. I'm trying to think of an example here, and the first thing that comes to mind is if you're a company with multiple locations, do you want to have those locations under the Contact Us heading on your navigation bar, or do you need a separate locations heading? Now, a fair amount of the time, maybe even most of the time, a separate locations heading is going to make more sense because you have to consider that visitors are interested in your locations in case they decide to contact you. They may be thinking about contacting you, but they may not be ready to contact you yet. The Contact Us button sounds more immediate, even if it isn't. It sounds more immediate, and listing locations under your Contact Us navigation button may not be the right choice for your given line of business, depending, of course, on your sales cycle. Now, if you are, say, an attorney dealing with urgent matters like drunk driving cases, it probably is a good idea to have your locations under the Contact or Contact Us button, like as a drop-down. Your visitors in that case have more of a sense of urgency in contacting you. And for the search engines, it's typically a better idea to have a locations button for the sake of proper technical hierarchy so the search engine bots can find the information they need. But in an urgent case like this with the attorney, sometimes a concession has to be made. And this is the kind of concession that would help user experience in the end and therefore help your presence in a different and less technical way. Now, thirdly, the function, loading speed. Does everything work properly? Do links take you where they're supposed to? Loading speed's so important, and it's important to check it periodically. Because as Google's parameters change, you want to make sure that your website stays current and it continues to load fast. Google makes it easy with their Page Speed Insights and Mobile Speed Tool. You can get everything that you get everything your webmaster needs to know to keep your website at optimal speed from that tool, which recently became a single tool combining the page speed insights and mobile friendly test. If your site takes too long to load, simply put, you can lose visitors, and it only takes a few seconds. Does your website look proper in different browsers on all mobile devices? Responsive design, baby. Do the navigation buttons take you where they're supposed to take you? Does your search engine or does your search feature work properly? Little slip there. I said search engine feature, but basically it's your own personal search engine for your website. Does your search feature work properly? These are issues that all too often get put off, and by the time we get around to them, our website looks outdated. Your website functionality is crucial to your user experience. This stuff is so important because you can have a website that is optimized from the technical sense. And again, we're looking past the technical sense this week. It could be optimized from the technical sense, but does not deliver the bottom line results you need, because people can find your website and then they're just not impressed enough with what they find when they arrive, and then they choose to go elsewhere with just one mouse click. It's just too easy to go elsewhere, and you can't forget that. And finally, number four, the words. I'm not going to belabor this point because just a few weeks back, we did a whole podcast on selling the sizzle and not the steak with your website verbiage. That being said, I will nag you just a little to look at your content with fresh eyes. And again, ask some people you trust to scrutinize your words and get their feedback as users. You need some unbiased opinions from people. And you need to have people in your inner circle who can give you those unbiased opinions, tell you what you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. Does your content have flow? Does it have personality? Is it just a statement of facts? Remember, you're earning credibility with the search engines by delivering credible information to help your visitors. You're earning credibility with your visitors by delivering credible information with flair, personality, and conviction. Now, don't let the style overshadow the substance, of course, but make sure your style shows through, because that ultimately is what will set you apart from your competitors who are delivering essentially the same information. And now, finally, I think I said finally before the fourth point, and I promised you we'd have five. And we are at number five, and that is the contact. This should be an easy one, but all too often it could be a point of contention. How easy is it to contact you from your website? And you may have everything in place in your contact form. Could be just doing gangbusters for you. If you're not getting the contacts off your website that you want and you expect, you want to take a look at this. How easy is it to contact you on your website? Having your email address and phone number on a contact page is just not good enough. Only having an email address just adds another step to the process of someone contacting you. And a phone number, I mean, yeah, people use phones. We have phones with us pretty much 24/7 now. Some people sleep with their phones. But you need at least a simple contact form, and you need it to be accessible from basically every page on your website. Not front and center, mind you. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. But there's no reason that you can't have a contact form somewhere on every page of your website. The sidebar is generally a good choice because the contact form is there, but it doesn't take up the space you need for the specific topic of that given page. Don't try to force people. Don't be too in your face, and don't try to force people to give you too much information, but have it there where they can see it. When they're ready, they can contact you right then. Name, email address, and a message box is generally enough, although in some cases a phone number is warranted. And there may be other qualifiers to include as well, so as to better direct the contact inquiries to the right person. Now, in addition to the contact form, you should have a Google map on the contact page for each of your locations. Again, this is information people could look up for themselves, but you should eliminate that need by providing the map on your site where they can get directions right there. Just make it as easy as possible for people to contact you from your website. See, there's a flow here. Your first impression draws people to your site. Then they navigate through your site to find what they want. And the more your site navigation makes sense, the more it makes sense for them to stick around. Then as they navigate through your site and each link leads them to another page that loads quickly and respects their time in that aspect, they learn more about you and about the product or service that they're looking for by reading your well-written content. And at that point, when they want to contact you, you want your contact information right there so they don't have to go looking for it. Sounds easy, and it should be. But this overall substance goes overlooked too often. It gets put off. And I don't want to see you lose business because of it. Thank you for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for visiting welcometomind.com. Thank you for listening to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Thanks for following us on Pinterest and on Facebook as well. Hope you found this week's podcast to be helpful, and we will see you next time.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
The Samuel L. Bronkowitz production.